In other news.
You know, the towers did not burn up. They turned into powder in midair.
That's scary to have this helicopter hovering around.
You walk up to him and confront him. They can't stand that.
Welcome to another news. I'm Jeff Brady. We've edged further out on the limb, exploring the many facets of non-humans living among us, masquerading as humans, as a dominant parasitic class. In the last interview with Carissa Conti, her research filled in more missing pieces in the context of the engineered pandemic. We talked about how certain individuals rose to strategic positions within human society. We also looked at the question, how did so many in healthcare, school boards, law enforcement, local and state government agencies, do everything they could to murder and take down society? The history of magic and sleight-of-hand performance reveal how the limits of human perception are easily exploited. Our eyes perceive light within a narrow range of the broad electromagnetic spectrum, leaving many places for the interlopers to evade detection. Some of the variables examined in past shows include learning about the possible forms of camouflage the intruders take to successfully walk among us, such as a clone, a doppelganger, an android, or the intruder is wearing what's known as a liquid crystal human suit. Another variable is that the human could be partially sold or possessed. Keep in mind that books and film produced on this topic are also by design, because fictionalizing this type of covert alien invasion would be an effective use of reverse psychology. There are numerous sci-fi productions on this topic, therefore it can't be true. To build more scaffolding around the concept of how human society can be quietly subverted by lookalike intruders displaying some type of adaptive camouflage technique or entities inhabiting human bodies, we welcome back Evie Lorgan. Evie is a professional hypnotherapist and counselor. She's the author of The Love Bite, Alien Interference of Human Love Relationships, and her second book is titled The Dark Side of Cupid. Evie was a close associate of the late Barbara Bartlett, and she's dedicated in continuing and expanding the work of the late Dr. Carla Turner. We go now to hear part one of this interview. Evie, welcome back to Another News.
Thank you.
Your research into alien abductions and anomalous trauma have led you into realms not for the faint of heart. You've got some interesting data suggesting people who look human or aren't fully human walk among us, and some elements within U.S. government agencies are well aware of this. In a past show, we went into depth on how individuals in law enforcement, school boards, local and state governments, hospitals, cooperated almost seamlessly in the moral and ethical breaches associated with the engineered pandemic agenda. We speculate there are non-humans among us pushing this and other nefarious strategies. Your research, gathered from interviews of abductees and love bite victims, shade in some areas that could be added to the evidence pile. A lot of this evidence is in the non-physical realm, where no shortage of entities hide within altered states of human consciousness. Would you please tell listeners about some of this data showing how non-humans are among us masquerading as humans?
That's a good question. Okay. Well, that's a question that many people are wondering about and have wondered about actually for some time since people started learning about the alien abduction program and experiences, let's say even as far back as, the 90s, when it became more popularized with the Bud Hopkins research, as well as David Jacobs and John Mack and some of the early abduction researchers, including Dr. Carla Turner, Helmut Lammer, myself, Raymond Fowler. A lot of good abduction researchers had done investigations with people who believe they've had multiple UFO and alien visitations, although it doesn't always include UFOs, but in the early days it seemed to have like that connection associated with it. So anyway, with a lot of these abductions, there's the quote hybrid breeding program that has been prevalent in the memories where people who've been abducted, they may have memories come up of being medically examined, you know, the sperm samples or the sexual, you know, ovum harvesting, and then being shown hybrid children in some other environment or in like weird cloned kinds of medical cylinder or bag containers with a bunch of embryos and human bodies in different stages that look alien and human. So there's this whole alien hybrid kind of thing that has been going on and suspected for quite some time. So it's not like it's a mystery. So many of the people reported seeing what they thought were their alien hybrid children on the craft. So they'd be taken and then they'd be shown, you know, maybe a child or several children that they're told is one of their alien hybrids that they created from their, you know, ovum or sperm. And it would create an emotional connection with those hybrid children, and that was part of the agenda. But another part of the agenda, and this is something we really didn't start noticing maybe publicly until in the 90s when Dr. Carla Turner and some abductees, including Bud Hopkins cases, where people were being re-abducted by military or some alphabet soup agency related a human organization that knew about that these people were abductees. So they had been watched. Sometimes they don't even know that they were being watched or even knew they were abductees, but some other human organization already knew that there's these groups of people being abducted either by alien grays or other species, including the reptilians. And there's many species now that people report. So in some of the cases that I investigated and actually condensed cases in the Love Bite book, which is about how they orchestrated love relationships and how instead of, you know, the usual reports in the early days was that they were doing medical experiments mostly and some kind of, you know, medical hybrid breeding program or interested as scientists in the human body or sexuality. But in reality, the aliens were involved with much more in the people's lives, which I was one of the main reasons why I did my research, was not just the orchestration of love relationships, but the interference once someone wanted to find the truth of their experiences and maybe go to see a therapist, do hypnotic regressions, or go to support groups or UFO conferences. Then they would run into any number of interference tactics to act as kind of like sabotaging their ability to find out the truth of their experiences. Or it would be guided in such a way that they only remembered part of it, or it was only remembered in a certain way. So deep hypnotic regressions, this is what Barbara Bartholik did, and found out deep cover memories that others weren't coming up with, that suggested there was more going on than just the, you know, hybrid breeding program, that they were indeed doing things like cloning and setting people up in love relationships through bonding scenarios since childhood. So really that was why I did my work. I wanted to find out the deeper reasons and how they were doing much more manipulation and interference in our lives that was above and beyond what could be perceived as physical medical things. And so in some of the cases in Love Bite book, for example, there was two cases that we had discussed earlier that represent kind of like a case that demonstrates that there was alphabet soup agencies involved in, let's say, two of these female abductees' lives. Okay, so one of them is a well-known case that Bud Hopkins investigated and wrote a book about called Witnessed, and it was the Manhattan Linda Cortil case where she was abducted out of her Manhattan high-story window and floated into a UFO, and the UFO, you know, goes into water. And then it was witnessed by two security guards who were escorting a VIP from the UN. It was like a South American, like high-level diplomat kind of person. And so they all actually witnessed this abduction. And Linda also had it, but had like missing time, didn't really remember what happened. And so this is what Bud Hopkins investigated, did some regressions and found out on all their ends, you know, that there was like actually a joint abduction situation that went on. To cut to the chase, though, is that some of these, what do you call it, alphabet soup agencies know about people are getting abducted, and they were wondering if they were in collusion with the aliens, or they were either aliens or part alien. So this kind of inference was being made or believed by some of these people in these agencies that, hey, you know, there's humans here being taken by aliens, and then they're like, they're speaking alien languages, or they're doing what the aliens tell them to do, or they maybe they're part alien, but they look human. And so a lot of that kind of inference was going on as a reason for further investigation of certain abductees. And so I think this is interesting in that there was a lot of shadow, cloak and dagger kinds of experiences that my love bite experiencers who had set up relationships with human partners by the aliens, and then it played out a whole bunch of things that weren't really being reported by the UFO community at the time, because it was just considered too weird or suggested involvement with our own, you know, alphabet soup agencies, which is considered, you know, top secret or whatever, right? They don't really want the whole truth out, maybe just a part of the truth. So this is where the whole hybrid thing comes into play, that I think there's people who believe that there are alien hybrids and that they are engineering a hybrid alien-human species to get into government and high-level positions and basically take over human society, and that human society will be guided towards the acceptance of a human hybrid alien elite, or to accept the aliens. Okay, this was in a coded letter that was sent to one of my abductee clients that I wrote about in the Love Bite book. This is like over 20 years ago, okay? But this was something that was discovered by a man who was sent in to investigate her. And he was an FBI agent, okay? So the FBI already knew that there were abductees and that they wanted to neutralize them or to investigate them to find out, like, what they know or what's really going on with them, because they don't, maybe they suspect they're like hybrids, or they suspect that they're not fully human or part alien. And it's really not clear the term they used. The term they seemed to use in these cases that I had was they thought they were either alien or part of an alien breeding program that was, you know, under surveillance, because they didn't really like what was going on, because they thought it could be dangerous or a national security issue, which is true, if you ask me. So these are the kinds of things that led to a lot of smoke and mirrors and unusual kinds of things that happened in these abductees' lives, where they were set up or interfered with in their relationships or their friendships or their research or their investigation into their own experiences, where they just kind of ran into all these weird problems that wanted to keep them in the shadows or not know fully what's going on until they did investigate and then they found out more information. So I don't know if that explains the first part of your question, because I know that there's a lot of, quote, suspicions, and that there's shape-shifting people amongst us, or there's people who are not fully human, but they look human, and that, you know, are people, aliens walking among us doing some kind of alien agenda? And that's really the question, if I'm not correct. I mean, that's part of the reason why people want to know.
Definitely. Like you said, there are national security issues, and it's very important to know about this level of infiltration, especially as it's fictionalized in entertainment. But the FBI alien hybrid letter, I think that's fascinating. Listeners may be interested in a little more evidence there.
I actually did a condensed version, but there's a longer version. And the original woman's case was Mia Adams of the book Exiles. And then I interviewed her after her book, because actually Bud Hopkins wouldn't take her case. There's a lot of researchers that she wanted to go to find out, who wouldn't take her case because it was too much spooky involvement, which, you know, it's like a red hot potato. Nobody wants to take those things because, you know, you end up getting, just having weird stuff happen. So what Mia found out with this FBI agent who was sent in as a cover to investigate something at her her like condo complex, and it was really his excuse to come in undercover to investigate her by his commanding officers and groups that were, you know, giving him orders. And then it basically all unfolded that he found out he was actually part of that alien breeding program, was actually her son from her egg that was harvested in a alien sperm egg harvesting thing that involved actually humans who were in collusion with these alien like projects. So I don't want to read the whole letter. It's a really long one, but he believed that he was conditioned to seek work with the U.S. government. And so this is part of the mind control thing. If someone was born and raised in a program, a lot of times they're engineered to seek certain professions, like an alphabet soup agency, or, you know, and this begs the question is how deep does the manipulation go when they find out that they're actually part of a project and they were engineered to get into an organization to investigate these things and then try to keep a lid or a controlled narrative on the whole thing? And so that's my question was, wait a minute, there's so many people who are actually being guided and manipulated by this same alien consciousness or alien force to even to the level of alphabet soup agencies who are actually in, some of them are in conflict with one another about what they think is the right thing to do. And that actually happened in Mia Adams' case where, you know, the FBI agent was like, he had a strong connection towards her that was amorous, even though he was like 20 years her junior, right? And she had amorous, strong connections that they couldn't explain. And they realized later it was actually because he was her mitochondrial son. So it was part of an experiment that the aliens were doing, maybe that some of their higher level agencies knew about, but that was in conflict with the ones who actually discovered it were trying to keep Jordan, the FBI agent, away from pursuing these romantic feelings because they knew it was, quote, an Oedipal or incestuous connection, and they wanted to actually prevent it because they knew it was part of a more devious alien thing. So there is actually conflicting agencies and groups, which are compartmentalized, that have differing opinions on this whole alien agenda thing. And that's clear to me now after being in this field for so long. So one of the things that the FBI agent did admit is that one of the main agencies, he called it the agents of the Department of Navy, and he called it DON as the three letters. And he said that the Department of the Navy's purpose in this letter, right, is to direct extraordinarily unique activities in relation to extraterrestrial EBEs or extra biological entities and alien technologies, primarily to combat alien operations which are hostile to the national security of the U.S. That's what he was told. Basically, gathering and exploiting alien technologies and containment of premature disclosure of information. Well, they've been doing that a long time regarding the alien agenda and activities. And so he went on to say that the Greys are genetically similar to humans and that they are creating various human-alien hybrids. The purpose is to create a hardy, elite hybrid species, which would be initially capable of forming the leading elements of Grey society as well as serving the similar role in human society. The hybrids would also be able to survive the destructive ecological changes that the Greys believe would take place in the Earth's near future. And then he talks about, you know, the use of implants that affect the nervous system for primarily mind control and monitoring and surveillance, and also the competing non-human, I guess, reptilian species who are also manipulating the genetics of humans, which some of these humans in alphabet soup agencies discovered that this is not favorable to the human race and that they need to counter that, okay? So that there was already, you know, disagreements about what was really going on. So it's kind of like this cat and mouse game of how they could find out as much information about these abductees that they already knew were being abducted. And a lot of them didn't even know the level of how they were involved. It's not their fault. They were, you know, put in amnesia. So I believe almost every abductee, the military or some secret group, they already know who they are pretty much. And some of them are re-abducted. And this goes into one of the early reasons that Dr. Helmut Lammer, for example, wrote a book called My Labs in, I think, 97. And this was around the time Dr. Carla Turner's work came out with the exposés on the more malevolent masquerading of angels book and how they do things. So how one of the things in Helmut Lammer's book was that there were agencies that were trying to re-abduct alien abductees, or quote, contactees, and then interrogate them during the abduction process to find out about what were they doing with the aliens when the aliens took them, and could they be re-hypnotically regressed and programmed to get intel on the aliens when they abducted them, or to sabotage the aliens or even kill them or work counter to the agenda. So some of the early days when they did some of these re-abduction MyLab things, it was supposedly some of these groups that didn't really like what was going on, wanting to use MyLabs, right, my military abductees who are re-abducted, to find out or work against the aliens as some kind of double agent or triple agent. And so that was going on around the same time, you know, I was doing investigations and, you know, gathering case histories for the further manipulation and orchestration and deeper layers of these abductees' lives. And so a big part of that was, you know, the love relationships or love obsessions or connections between people that went beyond the norm. So what was discovered in, it was the FBI agent Mia in Jordan's case. He found out, even through his commanding officers and other groups that were surveilling, even like above the FBI, that I guess they just needed to find out what was going on and try to sabotage it, because they knew that they were doing a non-human energy field experiments, what would cause people to be drawn towards one another. In other words, non-tangible energy fields, which would be a causative factor in what people are attracted to one another. So in the case of Jordan and the Mia, their strong connection could be explained by they were non-tangible energy field or tendrils of energy. But in my understanding, as somebody who was a biochemist and who did DNA hybridization as part of my job, basically in the egg harvesting experience that Mia had, where she was abducted by humans utilizing alien technology and alien breeding programs. Okay, so they took one of her eggs, right? They harvested one of her eggs. They took out the genetic nucleus material, which is her nuclear DNA, but they still had the egg, which is the ovum, and then they used that ovum in an in vitro fertilization procedure with two other donor parents. And then those were put inserted inside of the egg after it was already fertilized by the sperm of another mother. So it basically, you know, three parents of this one product who happened to be Jordan, who was the FBI agent. So he was a product of an in vitro fertilization project that his parents were part of. And whether or not they knew they were part of this alien thing, I don't know. But he indicated to her in the course of all these, you know, weird things that were going on, when he discovered he was involved, he thought or inferred that she was either part alien or alien, and that inferred that he too was, you know, part of this alien breeding program, even though he was fully human. So there's these people who already knew long ago that there are humans who are in these programs that they suspected are not all human. Okay, so they think they're either alien or part alien. So that is why there's so much spooky, weird stuff going on with, you know, abductees who get reabducted by military, and they always feel like their lives are under surveillance or weird stuff happens to them, or they feel like they were engineered to be set up in a certain career or to meet a certain person. And so that was my interest in going deeper and finding out, well, what's really going on here? There's much more than just this simple medical thing or UFO sightings and missing time. There was much more going on.
It did make me think about what you were talking about regarding the FBI, I think, the FBI agents wanting to look at the feet and ankles of Linda.
Yeah, in fact, the other case, I believe, and I had to review it because this is from a larger book, and then I condensed it along with just a few interview questions with Linda, so that I can condense what I felt was the main thrust of, like, the manipulation and orchestration on a deeper levels. Okay, so there were there's two actually security guards for this VIP who was doing a UN event, and he was from South America, so it was like a high level honcho from South America, and they were sitting in one of these, you know, security vehicles with these, you know, and I believe they were both FBI agents as well as security, and they would do undercover operations and other things in their job. So they basically observed her being abducted out of her Manhattan window, and then one of the FBI agents who was one of the security guards, he had abductions in his life, so he was actually a contactee abductee, and he got in contact with Bud Hopkins, who investigated the whole thing and did hypnotic regressions on Linda. And I don't know if he did one with it was Richard and Dan, who were the two men that observed it, and that they all ended up getting regressions to find out what happened, because when they were observing the event, it was at night. They actually got abducted too, but it was in amnesia. They didn't realize it. So they realized later, with memories that came back, that Linda was not only taken by the aliens and went into this craft floating through the air in her night gown, going into a craft, and then the craft diving into some, like, the water. I don't know if it was a river or a bay or whatever's near Manhattan, right?
Yeah, that's Manhattan Bridge. That would be the East River, which is known for a lot of UFO activity.
So I guess what happened is when they got the regressions, the two men who observed it also remembered being on the sand at night while Linda was with the aliens doing these sand samples, were with these, like, pails and, like, you know, like a pail where you put sand in, like, as a kid, but they're like sample buckets where they were, you know, sampling the sand and sampling things that might have were dead from environmental toxins. And that Linda was observed, as they remembered in the regression, that she was not only working with aliens but speaking some weird alien language. And this is actually something that's reported by many, by the way, that they know different languages and could just, like, speak these other languages with aliens. Okay, that's another thing that happens with some abductees when they have contact. All of a sudden, boop, you know, they could speak this other language, you know. So, and part of the regression, it was actually deeply disturbing to one of the FBI agents, whereas the one guy named Richard, he was the one who was abducted as a child and bonded to her several times because it was engineered that they would later meet and have a strong, like, connection. So they were actually, you know, having this, like, love obsession thing going on, while the other agent was just, like, getting increasingly paranoid and had, like, love-hate relationship for Linda, because when he had the memory retrieval, he thought she was basically an alien or in charge of them because she was speaking the language and doing these, like, sand samples. So it got him all, like, paranoid. And so I wrote about that in the book about, you know, they had this weird obsession. But as part of this whole thing, they wanted, actually, it was the diplomat from the other country, you know, hired them to do a deeper investigation and continue following her around and, like, investigating her. So they actually abducted her, like, in daylight after she dropped her kid off from school, and then took her in one of these, like, I don't know, dark tinted window cars. I don't even remember what kind of vehicle it was, but in one of the things, they ordered her to, like, take off her shoes and look at her feet. And I'm like, what the heck is that about? And I always wondered, you know, but I just kind of thought, oh, well, maybe there was a reason why they wanted to look at her feet. But I only found out this later that, and this was something a client told me, actually, just, like, recently, okay, that supposedly certain alien-human hybrids have, like, if you knew what to look for, you'd see it in their hands and feet. Or maybe they were looking for an implant or a sign on her foot that might indicate she was part alien or something. But we never really knew, you know, what shape of foot would be different or even if that's a thing. But apparently people later have commented to me privately, like, if you observe certain people who you get this feel that they're not human, I think if people who are more clairvoyant actually see this and it's not a true physical thing. And I'm not saying that this is what's true for the Linda Cortile case. She's perfectly, like, a human, a wonderful human being, innocent in all of this. Okay. So I don't want to infer any negative connotations for abductees. Many of them, they can't help it. They were just born into it. And many of them are, like, pretty amazing, fantastic people, actually. So I don't want to cast aspersions of negativity
important.
Or, you know, yeah. try to demonize people, okay? Many of them are – I've had experiences too, okay? So there's nothing – it doesn't mean like they're good or evil, okay? But there was this thing where they wanted to look at her feet. But I did find out recently that, like, I talked to people over the years, like a lot of clairvoyant people. And many of them are people who've had experiences. So their clairvoyance is just naturally a little bit, you know, they're above normal. They're all pretty psychic, I guess, most of them. So one of them told me that, you know, they see who's hosted or who's not quite human, and that, you know, if you observe, sometimes you could see it in their hands and feet. And some people claim they could see this on videos where, and I'm sure you've seen many video clips where people claim, oh my God, I just saw like a reptile or a Draco head or a hand, a claw, or it was like, whoa, what was that on a video? But somebody who reported this to me recently, this wasn't on video that he sees this. He sees this with his like regular human eyes or in his third eye, that it was as if part of their body like blips in and out, and it's, you know, the hands will turn into like claws, or they will look different. So some people are noticing things, I think, on other levels of perception that indicate that not everybody is like a regular human. And I had another report of this from someone who claimed to observe it, not on the hands and feet, but they were having like a regular conversation with somebody in the regular 3D world, right? And then like a woman talking, and then noticing that her like her mouth and her chin were like phasing in and out of like reality, like it was like smeary and like it was just like the mouth wasn't there and then it was there, and it was like, you know, phasing in and out of reality, like her shape, her mouth. So it was like the body is not fully in our level of frequency. It can like phase in and out like certain parts of their bodies, but it's as if clairvoyant people will see this first. So it's just kind of a weird thing that some people believe that, you know, wait a minute here, there's some people here are not fully human. And I get this a lot, like reports, but mine happen to be more in the realm of if they've had what they felt was like a twin flame, or they were really attracted to someone that was extraordinary, you know, soul connection. They might think it's a twin flame. And one or the other has had alien abductions in their life, or maybe part of a cult. And then their partner sometimes will be like hosted by one of these entities that can shapeshift during sex, for example. And that the person reports to me like, well, I saw him like shapeshift into like this lizard face or a crocodile head or a snake-like face, or I saw like an alien gray pop out of him or something like that. So it, you know, begs us to ask the question, are there really, you know, quote, hybrids or people pretending to be humans, but there's really an alien consciousness inside them that are being directed by this overall alien agenda, which I think they knew about years ago, and they were trying to actually, you know, keep an eye on what was happening and through what people. And abductees, you know, got the crappy end of the stick, because many of them, I think, were just opportunistically taken maybe in their family lines. And then it was, you know, it's going on for generations.
I was wondering if you have an estimate in your research of the number of people who are at these various stages of abduction, non-human involvement, maybe some are non-human. I don't know how you would get this data, but what would you guess? Because you have a sample of these abductees and potential hybrid people. I'm wondering what your impression is of how many of them are out there now and in certain positions of influence in human society.
Well, I definitely think that this is not even based on alien stuff. Like, from what I've learned from people who are from, let's say, the higher elite families, they call them bloodline families, royalty, hierarchy, elite, Illuminati bloodlines, whatever, Many of those who, let's say, come out of recovering from satanic ritual abuse, or the families that are connected with that, and maybe reptilians and Dracos and other beings that are connected to fallen angels, for example, that they have always been trying to run the show on the planet for thousands of years. So it's not a new thing. But many of the people that I talk to would also include, you know, some kind of alien abduction or observation or knowledge of certain aliens in conjunction working with humans in these, you know, higher level of authority positions, whether it's government, military, academic, you know, cult, religion, Vatican, whatever. So we know that there's people in charge who are wanting to have their own people to basically drive the narrative and drive society in the places they want. And I believe that this alien gray consciousness thing keeps coming up. And I believe that with technologies that they've developed and maybe reverse engineered, that it has an effect on human consciousness so that it can cause us to be entrained telepathically with the alien gray consciousness that's kind of running the show or running humans as well. And this thing, it came to me, I mean, based on just observation of projects that people were in over the years, and now what's happening with more subtle perceptions in technology, as like social media, the internet, more refined digital technology, that the telepathic control and overlay in consciousness can happen more easily with what we have now. And that is, it's very subtle. So people get, let's say, telepathic connections with the grays, for example. Or a lot of them are just telepathic, or they're trained to be telepathic because they've been abducted so many times since they were a kid. So they already have this innate ability to perceive telepathic communication with the aliens and receive telepathy, like naturally. And some of them are naturally psychic, but there's also something known. And this gets off on something else. I don't know if we mentioned this in an earlier, not in an earlier show, but privately. There was a man that James Rink interviewed, and I guess he called him the Metallic Man, like a whatever the name. It wasn't his real name, but this man worked for China Lake as a deep black op kind of job where, and he admitted to being an abductee and a hybrid. So an alien gray hybrid who looks completely human. Okay, and that he worked in black ops, and one of the black op things, because he worked in the underground bases in China Lake, which is like one of the worst underground bases in like California, underground, Southern California, high desert, I believe, that he and many others who worked in these deep black ops in the underground bases, who are working, let's say, with aliens, they had something called the alien domain, which is like a frequency telepathic consciousness that they automatically, some of them have implants and some of them just, I think, can naturally tune into it. And so they're in constant telepathic contact with the grays, which is like a hive mind consciousness that you can connect with. Okay. And so I want to bring this up because there was another man years ago, you don't hear about him much. He was a MyLab named Dan Sherman. I think that was his name, or the one he used. And he was in a project called Project Preserve Destiny. And part of his job was learning what they called intuitive communication and telepathic communication with grays, but also humans and humans with humans. And one of the reasons that he was told because of his project was that, well, in the future, when communications get shut down, they will have a backup of many people who could intuitively and telepathically communicate with one another under these situations so that it won't be a worse disaster because communications go down. But what now I'm seeing is that, wait a minute here, there is an alien domain telepathic frequency of alien telepathy and alien consciousness that's overlaid, I believe, in the mind streams and through technology, especially internet and digital and cell phone, that is like an overlay over many people's consciousness. And that is actually driving people to think a lot of these thoughts are their own, but they are not. And some very sensitive people can tell, like when you perceive like telepathy, it's like hearing certain kinds of voices. A lot of it is clairaudient, or you may get images, that's conceptual images, as well as clairvoyant telepathy. But that can be actually stopped by some technologies that people, like in the UFO community, I guess engineers who figured out how to make things like hats out of this velostat material, which is a type of material that I can't explain it scientifically, but if you do a whole bunch of layers of this material, you make like a cap, and it's not the tinfoil hat thing. Okay, this is something that we figured out over the years, since actually quite a while ago, if you would create this cap of this velostat material, it could block out the alien telepathy where they're always trying to hack in your consciousness. When you're an abductee, you know, because you hear it like a lot, right? They're always in like communication with alien telepathy. It's a natural thing for a lot of abductees. But you can block it with this material. Not only can you block the alien telepathy, but you could block it from them being able to abduct you, because they can't find your frequency if you wear this material over your head. So relatively recently, a client came to me and said, yeah, you know, she found out about this on a website, and this guy's been doing this stuff since like the year 2000, and that he has many testimonies that people, once they started wearing these caps, the aliens couldn't get them as much, or sometimes they did, or they took the hat away. But it also can prevent the out-of-the-body abductions that the aliens do, and humans. So they have adapted that technology to pull people out of their bodies and, you know, do all this telepathic crap on top of it, which I think is much more subtle and different from V2K. So this is a more subtle form of telepathy that they're linking consciousness in that can be blocked by this velostat material. So one of my clients, basically, she was being astrally abducted, and then she didn't, when she wore this hat material, many, many layers, that for like 40 days straight, a significant amount of time, they couldn't pull her out of her body, but they tried, right? So they would continue to try to take you and try to, you know, beam whatever into your consciousness, but you can actually resist it. So now we know that a lot of these abductions, when people remember things, it's an astral, it's out of the body, where they take the consciousness and they transfer the consciousness somewhere else. And so this is actually something that Dr. Carla Turner knew, and Helmut Lammer had great concern about, where he was writing and corresponding with me privately back in the 90s with like post mail, because he didn't want it like read on email. And the whole, you know, the whole thing was like, wait a minute, they're transferring soul consciousness. And some of these reports, like the Ted Rice case or others that may not have been made known, with an alien soul transfer technology thing going on. So we know that there is an alien technology where they can transfer consciousness out of the body and into clone bodies, or into another reality, where a whole number of types of experiences can happen in a, it's either another dimension or an astral realm, or pulled up into parallel dimension or in clone bodies. So there's a way they can not only take your consciousness out of body, but affect your consciousness to believe these thoughts are your own. But really sensitive people who might have done meditation for years, or they're already naturally psychic, they'll know. They'll know the difference. Like you can tell when you're thinking your own thoughts, or that you hear what's coming from your own consciousness. But if you've done an extended meditation thing, and you'll know that you are the observer of whatever arises in the consciousness. So a lot of these thoughts are not really your own. A lot of them come from others, or could come from other technologies. And so this is where we need to really cultivate our awareness, so that we don't automatically adapt to this overlay stream of telepathy and consciousness that's making us think something, or even be telepathic with our computers, which is very possible. I mean, we know this from the ads that just pop up. You think about something and the ad pops up immediately on your friggin' phone, you know? So we know now that there is an alien overlay technology, and it can be blocked by just experimenting with different things and experimenting with our own natural abilities, spiritual abilities. So I just wanted to say that, because If we can prevent the OBE abductions from a certain material, then we know there's a technology that they're using to pull us out of the body and give us a whole number of experiences.
For sure, Evie. And so that's Velostat.
Yeah. I don't remember the guy's name. He was probably already an aviation engineer, where he knew how to, he already knew how to create things. And he did it with this material and then experimented with it, and with many testimonies where, oh my God, you know, it stopped the aliens, but the aliens tried and they would like steal the hat. So they, and then they would re-abduct them, and, or they would try to interfere or up their ante with the technology, and then you'd get like bad headaches. So you'd have to add more layers of this material so they couldn't telepathically beam in or pull you out of the body. So I believe that there's ways that this thing could be blocked. We just have to understand how they work. But my concern is, and this has come up in conversations with, I work with a group of, you know, people who are what I call survivors, and who no longer get abducted, who have had not only alien abductions, but maybe military ones and secret projects also, where they were utilized for their psychic abilities or for one reason or another, but they're no longer being taken because they've cultivated enough of their awareness and their own ability to not have those experiences anymore, that they're not being accessed or abducted anymore. So I believe that there's ways to be free of this, but we need to understand how they operate and how they're driving narratives and belief systems and thought streams in a certain way that I believe now is a kind of alien technology that's a hive consciousness. It's not real. It's not our real thoughts. It's not our real beliefs, but it's being, we're being overlaid by this and then maybe triggered to behave or act in a certain manner that may not even be normal for us. And that could explain a lot of the weird behaviors that some people will do, let's say in targeting and gang stalking, or somebody, you're learning too much, you're a whistleblower, and all of a sudden, like, your friends do a 180 on you, or somebody who you met, like, at church, you know, all of a sudden, they just don't want to talk to you anymore, and you're not, like, a crazy person, but they'll still steer people away from those who are waking up so that you can't get the support you need or the friendship, as if they're controlling many minds and a lot of people. And I believe that that's just what's going on right now.
Oh, for sure. And thank you for going into detail and explaining some of this area, and because the lines are blurred with the microwave attacks and the gang stalking and the alien-level technology that is influencing inherent telepathic abilities of humans. And so it's very important to be able to look at both realms and ultimately know one of the goals here is to influence human thinking and human behavior. I understand what we're talking about here, this concept. It's not breaking news, and it's likely ancient information. And the same entities involved with this human interference are likely involved somehow in revising history. The censoring and revising of human history makes it difficult to get traction and build a legacy of spiritual enlightenment through human generations. Listeners know about crisis actors building false consensus. How do non-humans participate in this counterfeit reality, according to your research?
Well, I believe it's definitely happening. Even in the truth movement, okay, I don't want to cast aspersions of blame or badness on people, but I believe that there are entire groups of people that are being socially engineered to carry out an agenda that's actually, let's say, an alien agenda. And then they're humans, but they're driven to follow, you know, this mission, like a mission. But thing you mentioned about how they erase history. And so this is also a tactic that I could use, let's say, a psychology parallel in a personality disorder, which is very popularized now, and they probably overuse it. But with narcissistic personality disorder, or with like certain psychopathy and what do you call it, sociopaths, where their classic interaction with a human being, often in a love, let's say a love relationship, it's transactional. There might be an initial love bombing, attention, initial connection, And then a gradual devaluation along with gaslighting and then discarding and cutting them off so that the person is pining away and are like really hurt and they feel devalued, but they also are gaslit in such a way that if you report, well, you know, when you did this to me or when you said that to me, and well, that hurt my feelings, you know, did you really mean this or that? And they'll basically bull you that it's all in your head. You're just being overly sensitive or blah, blah, blah. But they're really lying because they really are people who will devalue you and have contempt for you and treat you in this way. But what they're doing, though, with the gaslighting and with the devaluation and discarding, it's a similar themed behavior where when someone wants to, let's say, overtake your identity, okay, like what happens in cult members, like say the cult leader is like a bad cult leader, they will gaslight and do things to you, break down your ego, to break down your identity, cause you to become confused and you basically no longer remember who you are and what you felt, and now you are just a puppet of what they are telling you that you feel and believe and know about yourself. So they basically hijack your identity and your history. So this is important because the same phenomena is happening large scale in the world, let's say on the internet, Wikipedia, or many books and history and things that I knew even 25 years ago of, let's say, MILAB reports or MKUltra reports, SRA people, alien abductees, people in programs who went public. They might have, you know, had a website for like a year or two, or they had their, you know, 15 minutes of fame or 2 hours of fame doing their story, and then their story disappears. So the history of what they said that maybe people don't really want to be out there, it basically gets erased from the internet history. And even in ufology. So what we're seeing now, only because I've been around so long enough to watch this, that there's many case histories of people in my labs and different projects and abduction stuff. The younger ones coming up with the popular opinion, which keeps reasserting itself. Okay, it's an agenda that keeps reasserting itself. Its narrative is basically marginalize and minimalize and erase the history of the early ones that could make connections to show they keep driving disclosure and the alien agenda no matter what. It's the same kind of thing that they're doing to people by erasing history and making us believe what they want us to believe and engineering those narratives and those belief systems. And then they will do like classical conditioning where a certain narrative or type of experience, and you know, people are going to be pissed off at me, but let's say, for example, someone who's had alien visitations all their life or abductions, and then they might have had MILABs also or a SRA history.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for going into that. And MPD is multiple personality disorder. Okay, I didn't mean to derail the larger point.
Yeah, and I'm sorry that I ramble. And it's because I want to make a point because I could make connections between things I've seen and heard for 30 years that are really no longer on the internet that people don't remember. And I can give you an example, and it's kind of fringy, okay? But it's based on how certain things just disappear from the internet. You don't hear about them much. But let's say 25 years ago, there was a woman who was an MK Ultra Monarch Mind Control Programmed slave who was probably satanic ritual abuse cult family, and then remembering her experiences being used in her capacity, like just one of the capacities. We'll say sex slave, for example. They got a beta sex altar. This is common knowledge in people who studied Monarch MK Ultra. Okay, and that's one of the functions, is they will create an alter personality that has the function of sexually servicing, you know, the controllers, the handlers, whoever. Whoever can know their code and bring up that cue, then that alter pops up and has sex with the client or whatever. But in this particular woman's testimony, her name was Beth Gooby, I remember her, and it was online, and it was probably written interviews, and I don't know if there's many vocal ones still out there. But one of her jobs as an SRA person who had multiple personality with a sex altar. She would have sex with the, quote, John, which would be, but a lot of times it was like a handler or a type of person who was already a high-level cult person who knew black magic, and they would use sexual tantra as a way to have sexual relations by utilizing the tantric sexual energy towards a magical intention or ritual. So this woman remembered being used to have sex with the Johns, who would then use that energy to create a grid of life force sexual energy in the astral realms and dimensions. So some of the sex would be physical, and some of it I think would be also astral. But this, the Johns that knew how to do this, these magicians, they would use the sexual energy and then be able to immediately use that energy, that life force, sexual energy in the astral realm to create entire realities on like a grid. You create a grid that's like, you know, the holodeck on Star Trek, but you do it all in the astral realm and you create an entire reality through life force, sexual energy so they can abduct and take people and utilize them in these like parallel astral worlds that they create through life force and sexual energy. Okay, including fake temple complexes that make you think when you go out of the body, you end up in these realities, maybe these temple complexes or medical facilities or whatever.
Evie, well, this will wrap up the first part of our interview. We'll do a second hour, but that will be for next week. In the meantime, can you please tell listeners how they can learn more about your work?
Okay, definitely. Both my books, The Love Bite, is available on Amazon Kindle, and you can get a hard copy through me directly from my website, which is evelorgan.com. Okay, so both books you can still get a Kindle, and then both hard copies you can still get. I have a limited number, but I would suggest if you want a hard copy, go through me directly, because otherwise they'll charge you a lot, like for The Love Bite on Amazon. It'll be up to like over $200. So I will give it to you for a much lower price if they get my books directly. So my website, evelorgan.com. I also have a Telegram group called alienlovebite.com. There's not as many members, but there I'm able to post more radio shows and stuff that I do, because I'm being locked out on my own WordPress right now of my website. So that's why I like to have a backup on Telegram. And then just directly email. It's elorgen, E-L-O-R-G-E-N, at gmail.com.
Well, Evie, thank you again for being on In Other News. This is really important and enlightening information. That's going to do it for In Other News. I'm Jeff Brady. Visit inothernewsradio.com for archives and more information about the guests.